Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
I feel that chill, smell that fresh cut grass. I'm back in my helmet, cleats, and shoulder pads.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm usually joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach Schultheis is on assignment at Indiana University as he moves his daughter Paige into school for her sophomore year, going to be a doctor someday, and coach is going to live off her, and it's his little retirement plan, even though I'm sure he has a great retirement plan already because Janet Schultheis with Edward Jones set it up for him. Today is going to be all about Friday Night Lights. It's going to be all about high school football, and here in Indiana tonight is the opening night of Indiana high school football. And we're excited about the lineup we have coming on the show. We have WJTS and Jasper play-by-play man Craig Schneider is going to be joining us shortly. After that, we've got Steve Kolb. He's going to be coming on to give us a little insight into the Pocket Athletic Conference and especially Heritage Hills and South Spencer. We've got Kurt Guxel coming on to give us a preview of the Southridge Corydon matchup this evening. And then we'll also finish it up with the What's Hot, What's Not, extremely popular segment with Don Schultheis. But before we get started with our guests, let's go ahead. Indiana preseason polls came out in football, and I'd like to run down the top five or six in those just to go over who's ranked and who's not. In 6A, we've got Carmel at number one, Warren Central number two, Ben Davis number three, Center Grove and Penn tied at number four, Fishers at number six, Pike, Southport, Hamilton Southeastern, and Lawrence Central close out the 6A poll. In 5A, we've got Indianapolis Cathedral coming in at number one. We've got number two, Westfield. Number three, Fort Wayne Snyder. Number four, Terre Haute North. Number five, Whiteland. Number six, Concord. Number seven, Mishawaka. Number eight, Fort Wayne North. Nine is Zionsville. And coming in at number 10 is Decatur Central. In our neck of the woods, you've got Castle, I guess, coming in at number 11. They only have a top 10, but they give the rest of the votes. And Castle is the next highest, the next one coming up in the poll with 68 votes. So that points, so that would be make them 11th. In 4A, we've got Jasper Rival. Columbus East coming at number one. Number two, Indianapolis Chittard. Number three, New Palestine. Number four, Fort Wayne Dwenger. Number five is New Prairie. Number six coming in is my Jasper Wildcats. Number seven, Indianapolis Roncalli. New Haven comes in at number eight. Number nine is Leo. And number 10, another rival of Jasper's, Evansville Rice, in our neck of the woods, down here in southwest Indiana. For those of you who might not know, I broadcast out of Jasper, and Coach K broadcasts out of our Evansville studio. But Evansville Central also receiving votes. In 3A, Andrea comes in at number one. Number two, Indianapolis Brebeuf. Number three, Gibson Southern. Four is West Lafayette. Five is Jimtown. Brownstown Central comes in at number six. Number seven, Yorktown. Number eight, Fort Wayne Concordia. Number nine, Tri-West. And number 10 is Batesville. In 2A, we've got at number one coming in. It seems like it's a theme here. Indianapolis schools ranked number one. We've got number one, Indianapolis Ritter. Number two, Lafayette Central Catholic. Number three, Cecina. And also it's a tie. Modern Day is also tied for third. Number five is Rensselaer Central. Number six, Tipton. Seven, the Southridge Raiders, another local team. Number eight is Triton Central. Number 9 is Paoli, coached by ex-assistant Jasper coach Brian Balsmeyer. And number 10 is Speedway. In 1A, we've got Tri-Central coming in at number 1, East Central 2nd, Linton number 3. Number 4 is Winnemac. 5 is South Putnam. 6 is Fountain Central. 7th is North Vermilion. Sheridan comes in at number 8. Pioneers number 9. And Indianapolis Lutheran is number 10. In southwestern Indiana, Perry Central also receives votes. Now, we've got, I just want to go over the, I'll tell you what, I'm going to hold off on going over tonight's southwestern Indiana games. What we're going to do is we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to WJTS's Jasper High School football play-by-play man, Craig Schneider. We'll be back right after the break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Kent Benson, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe, and I usually say I'm joined by the Coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis, but guess what? I get to talk today. I've always told people, you know, thank God he doesn't get paid by the word, because he'd be a very rich man if he was. But joining us now is WJTS's Craig Schneider. He's the play-by-play man for the Jasper Wildcats on their TV broadcast. Craig, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
You know, Football Friday, and for a Jasper Wildcat football game, it's always a holiday, so it's a holiday for me today.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And you're talking about missing the coach. Hey, I partially coached the freshman team, so does that qualify or what? You know, I didn't know if that might help as the coach position that you need today, but I'll take that spot for you.
Yeah, well, you're the coach for today. So we do have a coach. We just Coach C instead of Coach K. All right. So we got Coach C joining us. Craig. You know, I know you're with the freshman team a lot, but I'm sure that you watch some of the varsity practices as well. But looking at this Jasper team, I get nothing but excited about it because of the offensive firepower that they have coming back.
Yeah, there's no question, Joe. I mean, this is a football team that I don't know if I can remember one that's had such great experience in their returning players. I mean, obviously, you start at the top with Nolan Ahrens. I mean, his record-setting season last year, it just seems like every year he just improves. You know, started as a sophomore, started as a junior last year, threw for over 2,400 yards, 21 touchdowns. I mean, he is just a phenomenal talent that just keeps getting better and better. And, you know, we did scrimmage last week against North, and he didn't get too many reps, which is kind of expected because in a game like that, you pretty well want to see what some of the other guys can do. So backup quarterback Justin Gable got quite a few reps in that football game. But yeah, this is going to be an exciting time for the Jasper Wildcats, and it starts tonight with Memorial, who you know, themselves, they're actually a pretty nice football team as well. I mean, I know last year they struggled a little bit, but I think a big part of that was when they lost their quarterback. It was Will Dirkholz. He was a sophomore last year, but if you can remember in that football game, we fell behind 19-0, but Dirkholz had three touchdown passes that led them to that early lead for the Cats, or for the Tigers. But, you know, he's back this year, and so, you know, again, Memorial likes to throw that football, and I think there's no doubt that the Cats are going to be tested tonight.
You know, Nolan, you talked about you know, great talent. Happy he's on our team, not on the team we're playing. But, you know, also, he has a lot of his weapons that he throws the ball to. He's losing a big-time receiver in Zach Wood and a nice tight end in Philip Hoopsman. But, you know, he's got a lot of targets coming back.
Yeah, there's no question. And, of course, in the receiving core, the best player that we've got coming back by far is Austin Ollis, 6'3", 240-pound senior. And I don't know if you had a chance to watch any of the film from that North game, but one of the highlights was early on, Nolan tossed one up there. It was probably about a 40-50-yard pass downfield, and Ollis just jumped up over three guys and hauled that thing in. So that was a great kind of preview of what we should expect this year from him. Last year he had 42 catches for 532 yards and five touchdowns. But, again, he was a receiver that was keyed on quite a bit. So, you know, you're going to continue to see some of those double teams. So he's going to have the ability to be able to go up and snag that football. But other guys coming back as well. I mean, Cody Jacob, he had an outstanding year last year as a junior with 12 catches and 116 yards. But they're also looking from guys like Hunter Gossett, who is pretty well primarily switching to a wide receiver. I know he's played a little quarterback in the past, but he'll be out back there. You've got junior Ben Wenholt, and then also Grant Teal, who's was a starter on defense last year, but he's got a lot of skills as a receiver as well. So I think Nolan's really going to be stacked at that receiver spot. And so, you know, don't be surprised if he does break some of his passing records this year.
You know, he's got great receivers, you know, split out wide. But we also have a running back in Ben Moore that not only excels in the, running the ball for us, but he also does a phenomenal job as a receiver.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, Ben is just one of those dual threats. I can still remember the Heritage Hills game last year when we had a couple of backside throws that went big for us, both of those going to Ben. But, you know, he had an outstanding season running the football. Had a little, an injury late in the season that slowed him down a little bit. But whenever, because we do lose Nick Hale, who actually we had lost him pretty well for the whole postseason, and Ben just stepped up from that spot. But, his numbers, you should expect to see those increase as far as his rushing numbers. I think he ran for about 856 yards and eight touchdowns last year. But he'll be carrying a heavier load. But, you know, there's other guys back there that can help out as well. I mean, Tate Blessinger scored four touchdowns last year, so he'll be stepping it up. They really like what they see in Luke Summersheim as well. I think he's going to have a nice junior season. And then you've got some kids coming back this year, like Gavin Lori, who sat out last year, but he's back as a senior, and we'll probably see him also on defense. And then you got Kyle Kruger, and I even think that you can probably maybe even see Teal run the football a little bit this year as well.
And, you know, those guys that are going to run the ball, they're also going to benefit from having, if you look in a dictionary for a fullback, you might see Ian Songer's picture along in it because he looks like one, he acts like one, he is a fullback.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, Ian Songer, I've been watching him basically since his freshman year and just watched him mature as a football player, and as a fullback, you just need that solid rock that's good for the Jasper power game. I mean, when Jasper runs their isolation runs and their power runs, you've got to have that fullback that's just extremely solid and is going to, you know, take out a linebacker or take out that defensive end. And he does a great job with that, number one, but also, you give him the football as well. I mean, you know, he had 403 yards last year and four touchdowns. And so, you know, that's the great thing is that, you know, a lot of times you have Jasper fullbacks that primarily are just at back there to block and open up those holes for a tailback like Moore. But I'll tell you what, you know, he is one of those guys that when he gets the football, I mean, it is north, south, and he is going, you know, 110% all the time because, you know, he's looking for a touchdown, I think, every time he touches the ball. And I really like that in running backs.
Now, you know, the offensive line, you know, that's the lifeblood of the offense. And, you know, we returned two really good tackles in Colin Bolin, you know, 6'2", 280. And then you've got Dylan Pearson coming in at 6'1", 232. Can you tell us anything about what they're thinking about with the other linemen who might be stepping in at the center and guard positions this year?
Well, actually, I think Brent Holt is going to be pretty solid at that center spot. He's 6'4", 190, and he's had an outstanding early season, so I'm sure they're expecting a lot of things from him. And then the guard spots, guys like Alex Coleman, Tim Roman, Patrick Myring, you know, those are guys that are all seniors this year, so they should have some, you know, at least some upper-class leadership. But I really think it stems from how well we can be solid at this tackle spot because, you know, as you know, you've seen Jasper, you've been around Jasper football forever, almost like I have. I guess you're fewer years older than me, but, you know, the thing is with Bolin and Pearson, those are two nice bookends to have there. I mean, Bolin with his big size at 280 pounds and Pearson's at 232, but he plays a lot bigger than that. So, you know, I think there's no doubt about it. It's always the bread and butter of the Jasper Wildcats, but that power running game is just going to be key to go along with, you know, the incredible skill level that we have at the passing in the passing positions.
Now, you know, when we don't get a score or get a first down, we're going to rely on punting the ball. And, you know, what I love about Jasper is what they've done with their punting game with Nolan Aarons is the punter, but he does it kind of a rugby style, but at the same time, he has the right and privilege to pull up and throw the ball to an open receiver if he has a chance. And I think that adds yet another dimension to the punt team.
Oh, if anything, it keeps everybody on their toes. I mean, when you do something like that, and everybody knows that Jasper's going to line up and punt in that particular way because he actually doesn't really extend as far back typically as what punters do. I mean, you know, a lot of times you have punters back 8, 9, 10 yards. You know, he'll cut that down a little bit because what he does then is read what the defense has given him, and he's got three options right there. It's basically pass, run, then punt. And I'm not really sure what the order is there, but that may be a good order that he goes with whenever he's set back there to punt. But, you know, and the great thing about it is that you've got an Aulis that you can just heave the ball to if you need that, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 yards and just get that big play going. And then what that also does is that draws your defense all the way to the line so they can only set one guy back to return for the most part. So Cats have, I mean, in the last couple of years, we've seen like very little returns on our punts because, you know, when Nolan, you know, kind of gets that football and runs off to his right or whatever, and then if he decides to punt, you know, he's just punting it towards the sidelines, and there's no way anybody's going to be able to get to that football. And in a game like tonight, you know, against Memorial, that's going to be huge because, you know, Memorial, they're going to rely heavily on McKinley Warren. He's a 5'9", 190-pound senior who has pretty well been a four-year starter for this football team. And he's the kind of kid, if you can remember last year, you know, he had two big plays against the Cats with a 53-yard pass reception from Durkholz, and then also he returned a kickoff for 97 yards. So I know that they're going to do everything tonight that they can to try to get the ball into his hands, including the punting, you know, game, and try to get him some punting receiving yards. But, you know, with no one back there punting like that, I think that's a great weapon that just adds to everything else that Jasper, you know, can throw at a football team.
You know, as good as the offense is, you know, the defense has, you know, they lost Scott Stallwood, they lost Spencer Otto, they lost the Betts twins, but no one should cry for Jasper. I think Jasper's got quite a good group coming back on defense, and, you know, it all starts up front with those defensive ends and defensive tackles.
Oh, there's no question about it. And, you know, again, you go back to Austin Aulis there. If you can remember last year, he started out as a defensive end. And then, you know, obviously what do you do in that situation? You run away from Jasper's primary or Jasper's best defensive lineman. So, you know, he wasn't really getting too much action early on other than maybe his pass rush. But when they moved him to defensive tackle, that just changed things. I mean, you know, it basically – Any runs between the tackles were pretty well taken away. And at that particular point, you know, Teal had really good experience, and then also Kruger in their corner spot, so they were able to kind of contain any outside runs. You know, he's really going to be one of the keys. You know, last year he had 38 tackles, 14 of those were for loss and 5 sacks. But you know, we got Boone John back. He's a junior this year. If you remember last year, he had a really nice run in his sophomore season until he got hurt, and then. You know, other guys they like there is like Carson Engler. We'll probably see him at defensive end. You know, Cole Kreilein. He had a great year last year with 74 tackles and 9.5 tackles for loss, including 5 sacks. So, you know, again, that defensive line I think should be very, very strong this year.
Yeah, now Cole was a linebacker last year, moving him to defensive end. And also at the scrimmage I noticed that fullback Ian Songer is also playing some defensive end.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Ian, going back to his freshman season, he was primarily our Mike back there, our middle linebacker, and he did an outstanding job there. You know, Ian's a little bit, you know, smaller in stature. He's only 5'8", but and the thing is, he was 5'8" as a freshman, so he was actually good size then for a linebacker. But, yeah, there's no doubt when they get in tough situations, especially when you get beyond the 50, it's pretty well open for all of your top players that you want to make sure you get them on the field. So, yeah, Ian, I'm excited to see what he can do defensively this year.
Now, at linebacker, you know, last year, Luke Sermersheim, Tate Blessinger, some of those guys, they got experience, you know, and, you know, sophomores, you know, they had nice years. But the great thing about sophomores is they become juniors. They become more confident. They become more aggressive. And, you know, those two are two of the people that are looked upon in that linebacking core. And who else are we looking at linebacker this year for Jasper?
Well, that's the main thing. I mean, when you look at our linebacker spot, you know, Tate Blessinger comes back this year, and, you know, he had 51 tackles last year and had an outstanding sophomore year. And that's one thing that Coach Nick Eckert, the defensive coordinator, did, is that he wanted to get some kind of a youth movement back there. So he started off the season with Sermersheim, Blessinger, you know, getting those guys some good experience. And then, you know, Bless pretty well, you know, stuck to that particular spot. You know, he was a primary starter. And but, yeah, Luke's really stepped it up this year. And is, you know, he's up to 6'2", 175 pounds, so he should be real solid. But another guy really is the return of Gavin Lori. You know, he's a senior this year, 165 pounds. And, you know, they really like what they're seeing from him so far. And another guy to see that you'll probably see tonight is Justin Gable. So, you know, other than his backup quarterback duties, they really like what they see him in a linebacker spot. So, and the thing is with linebackers is that you got to make sure that you've got guys that understand their assignments, you know, can read offenses. You know, you talk about quarterbacks reading defenses. You know, your linebackers have to read what the offense is doing and just attack those holes and make sure that you time your stunts properly. And then, of course, you know, they're so important and you know, the short passing game as well. So I really like what we're going to have as far as linebackers this year, and I think that's all going to be really led, especially by Tate Blessinger, because of his experience from last year.
Now, in the defensive backfield, you know, I'd say tonight they're going to run some, but they're, you know, the world's been known to as for a wide open offense, and you know, the defensive backfield will be tested, and you know, I know we've got Grant coming back, but who are some of the other people that are expected to play in the defensive backfield this year for the Jasper Wildcats?
Well, I think just from the two corner spots, I mean, you know, two juniors that will be starting there. You mentioned Grant Teal, who last year had 2 interceptions and 53 tackles. Kyle Kruger returns. He had 28 tackles and a pick. So those are two juniors that will be, I expect, in the corner spots. Ben Winhold, he's an outstanding athlete, a junior this year, and I expect to see some time from him. And you know, even your son Reed Milligan, you know, expect to see him back there as well. So I just think that, again, you look the more we talk about this, the more excited I am because, you know, this is a defense that last year only gave up about 15 points a game, and, you know, it just returns some really solid players as we look down the line here. So, you know, I'm sure you talk to Reed every night. What's Reed been saying about the defense?
Reed tells me little. I get that from all three of my sons. How'd it go today? Okay. And that's all about I get. So I usually judge it. He's not in a bad mood. So I guess it went okay. Because I learned long ago I'm going to get nothing from them. But, also another weapon that we have with the Jasper Wildcats, and I know you guys are saying, people listening saying, he's a homer. Yes, I am a Jasper Wildcat homer. Is you mentioned Cal Kruger. And I think we have one of the finest kickers around the area, not only for on kickoffs, but also on for extra points and field goals.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you know, we really are spoiled from that standpoint because, you know, I think that's been a struggle for some teams out there is the kicking game. And, you know, Cal Kruger has just been outstanding. Last year, I think he only missed four extra points, and, you know, he's 52 of 56 and 4 of 8 on field goals. But, you know, the nice thing about that is that we've got incredible confidence to be able to allow him to boot anything that's, you know, around 40 yards or so. And I think that's just so key is that whenever you have offensive set, obviously you want touchdowns on every drive, but whenever you're able to drive down into the red zone or maybe just outside of it, that, you know, if something's stolen and you're not able to get something going once you get down to that area, hey, I have all the confidence in the world, and I'm sure the coaches do and everyone else, that you can just bring out the kicking game and have Cal Kruger just put it through. So, you know, again, he did that as a sophomore as far as those numbers, and you should expect to see those improve as he goes into his junior season. So, yeah, like I said, the more we talk about this football team, the more excited you get because, you know, your passing game's there, your running game's there, a solid offensive line, you know, very good, if not great receivers when you throw Hollis in there. And then just looking at the defense and the people that return and the kicking game. So, you know, they rank Jasper number 6 in the state right now, but I'd like to know 5 teams that are better than us.
Now, you know, Coach Aarons has talked about how he wanted to build this defense on speed. And, you know, you're looking down the list, Songer, Kryline, at defensive ends. You've got Hollis at defensive tackle. And actually, Boone John, you know, he doesn't run track anymore, but he was a sprinter when he did run track in middle school. And, you know, and look at the linebacker core, the defensive backs. I truly think that they're accomplishing their goal of team speed on that side of the ball.
Well, there's no question, you know, because, again, one thing Coach Aarons really focuses on is the off-season training and developing the speed and agility of these players. I mean, they spend a good part of the summer just, running and working on sprints and doing all kinds of things. And I think that starts, not only with you know, your so-called skill players and some of the athletes that we have there, but, you know, I think he wants quickness across the board. He wants more quickness from that defensive line. And, you know, again, Austin Hollis, I've not seen a faster kid at that with that kind of speed in Southern Indiana probably ever, you know. And but there's no doubt about it, you know, that's just the trend with football. You know, the Cats really don't go to, you know, like what some of these defenses are, like a 3-4 or anything like that. But still, you want that speed to be able to, you know, to pretty well dominate not only the line of scrimmage, but, you know, keeping things from getting outside. And there's no question about it that speed and agility and all those things are just keys that Coach Aarons and the entire coaching staff focuses on every summer whenever they work these kids out.
Now, lastly, before we end this segment, real quick, give me the who is Jasper's competition in the sectional and who in the Big 8 Conference this year?
Well, when you look at the season, I mean, there's always games that you kind of look at and circle. I really think that the Cats are going to, you know, before we even get to the conference season, Southridge next week could be a really good test. I mean, tonight obviously is going to be a really good test just because of the skill level of kids like Warren and Dirk Holtz. But, you know, just looking at the whole season, I mean, Southridge, I can't wait for that football game. Unfortunately, I won't be able to broadcast the game tonight. My brother Kerry's filling in along with Mike Blessinger. My sister is kind of throwing a little impromptu birthday party for me tonight up in Indianapolis, so I can't miss out on that. You know, starting next week, I'll cover the Southridge game, and I'm really excited to see what we have against that team because you know, Southridge, I remember when the senior class were freshmen, Southridge, I think we had to play them twice just because of the freshman schedule. Sometimes you get teams drop off. And I know they beat us at least in one of those games. So, you know, there's no doubt that they're going to have a lot of confidence going against the Cats there. But, you know, other games you circle when you look at the season, obviously, you know, going down the line, there's a lot of good football teams this year. I think Boonville will have a nice team. You know, no question that Mount Carmel will be a big one. You know, of course, they knocked off the Cats last year and all that. So, you know, those are going to be key games for the Cats throughout the season. I mean, and again, you never want to overlook anybody. Princeton should be better this year. So, you know, kind of excited to see what the Cats can do there. But then, obviously, when the sectional comes around, you know, the Cats, you know, the whole season and fans and everybody else is going to be keeping an eye on what the Wrights Panthers are doing this year. You know, last year they were 5-2 in the SIAC, 8-4 overall, but we were able to knock them off for a big sectional championship. So, you know, they always return good players. I know that, Malik Higgins last year, who rushed for over 1,000 yards, is back. You know, they always have good quarterback, quick quarterback play, and good size on the line. So, you know, it's just another great, exciting part of the year, you know, as far as getting ready for the football season. So, you know, hopefully the Cats can get off to a good start tonight. And I sure as heck don't want to see us down 19-0 at the start of the second quarter like last year.
Craig, thanks for joining us today. You know, you rebroadcast the games on WJTS, the Jasper games, and let people know when they can watch those games.
Actually, that game will be rebroadcast. You know, of course, we do it on tape delay. And so tonight's game will be run on 18WJTS at 10 a.m. Saturday morning. And then it's rerun Sunday at 7 p.m. And then also the Southridge game, I think there's going to be on from 2 to 4, around 2 o'clock. We usually give ourselves 2 hours for the telecast, but the Southridge Raiders telecast will be on, I think, at 2, and then following the Jasper game on Sunday night, probably around 9 o'clock. So, yeah, it's just a great time of the year. And so, yeah, if you can't catch the game or if you can't make it down to the game, you know, don't listen on the radio, make sure you pick it up and watch it Saturday morning or Sunday evening.
And also, so whenever the webmaster for the Jasper Wildcat Football Booster Club gets it on the Booster Club website. We also put them on there so that people out of the area can watch them, and they stay on there and on demand whenever you want them. You can listen to Craig and Bless. And, you know, Craig, thanks for being with us. Hopefully we'll be, you know, talking to you a lot this football season. And also maybe we'll have Bless on with you sometime. That ought to be interesting.
Oh, absolutely. No, Bless would love it as well. But, no, we appreciate everything you do for Jasper Sports and promoting sports around the area, Joe. And so, absolutely, we appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Craig. When we come back, we're going to be, I think it's a D.C. broadcasting type day. We've got Heritage Hills and South Spencer play-by-play man Steve Kolb waiting to discuss the PAC and the Heritage Hills Patriots and South Spencer Rebels. We'll be back right after this message. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe show. We're Coach Kalis today, coaches at IU, moving Paige Schulteis into Indiana University for her sophomore year. And, you know, Coach's retirement plan is Paige, but also he, you know, Janet Schulteis and Edward Jones. I do not have her number up. I do want to give that out today because, you know, if you're looking for a retirement plan, planning for the future, Janet Schulteis and Edward Jones is the person to call. And we are joined now by Heritage Hills Patriot and South Spencer Rebels play-by-play man on WAXL, Steve Kolb. Steve, are you as fired up for tonight as I am?
I am, Joe. Always fired up for the start of the high school football season and fired up to see if Heritage Hills can turn things around from what was just a nightmare season for them last year.
Yeah, the Patriots, very unpatriot-like, 2-8 overall, 2-5 in the Pocket Athletic Conference. You know, some teams got licks in on Heritage Hills, and I'm sure they've been reminded of that, you know, all year. But, you know, they've got a lot of people back, and it looks like that they're going to turn it around this year.
Well, I hope so. And again, still not still not the great numbers overall in the program, a little better than last year, and I think right now healthier than last year, which is a big key. They, it was one of those snowball things last year that once the injury started, they didn't let up, and it started actually in the basketball season prior when their quarterback Logan Wilkerson tore an ACL and was out all summer and came back about halfway through the football season, and while his backup Caleb Molzer did a nice job filling in and gives them a lot of depth at quarterback this year, Logan is back, I think, finally healthy, and he's mentioned it in the newspaper that not just healthy physically but mentally as well, because he's certainly not alone in guys that when they come back from serious knee and leg injuries, your mind just questions what you are capable of doing, and it's a hard hurdle, a high hurdle to jump mentally. And he admitted he struggled with that at times last year, and he's back 100%. And having him to start the season there and his leadership will be big. They did lose one of their top running back threats to an injury, Andrew Bell. He'll be out for a number of weeks with an MCL tear. But otherwise, I think they're fairly healthy, and that's going to be big because, again, the depth isn't huge for this team. There's talent out there. There's quite a bit of talent, but they need those guys to stay healthy for sure.
Now, the running back, what the list that I've been given, Kenton Cruz, Cruzy's son, who was primarily a receiver last year?
They would kind of move him all over the place, but he's primarily a receiver, and that's again, 22 catches for 404 yards and team-leading 5 touchdowns last year. And you'll see him out wide a lot. You'll see him in the backfield at different times, especially when they go to the wishbone. I would imagine you'll see him back there. He's probably and arguably one of the best athletes on the team and with some of the best speed. So they'll try to get him the ball in space and try to use his athletic ability. And they may ease him into that because he's coming back off a hamstring injury that hampered him all summer long. So they'll probably ease him back into that full role. Zach Jones is a big fullback, 212 pounds, I think, now, and 6'2". And, in fact, things got so bad last year with injuries on the line, they had to give him a number up in the 60s, take away his number 2, give him a number up in the 60s, and put him at guard because they just ran out of options on the offensive line. Well, he's back to fullback, and they plugged senior Sean Schaefer in at the running back spot in place of Bell. And according to what I've seen and read, Coach Wilkerson very happy with what Schaefer's given them as he stepped into that role. He's a senior that's one of these guys that's willing to do whatever you ask of him, and willing to help out the team any way he can, and he looked good in the scrimmage doing that. Not a big guy, but runs very hard, and he'll run behind an offensive line that's not huge, but there's some experience there, and I know while those guys aren't huge, they're strong and they're quick, and they'll need to use their strength and quickness to their advantage, and I think there's some cautious optimism there with that group on the offensive line. And the other skill guys for Heritage Hills to look out for, Sam Collins, big 6'3", 210-pound senior tight end. He's a guy that just came out for football last year, and so you saw flashes of what he could do last year, and it was, as you know how this works in athletics, Joe, athletics, when a guy's got tremendous athletic ability, at times you see that athletic ability shine through and just wow you, but the other aspects of the game haven't caught up yet, and I think with a year under his belt, those things have caught up for Sam, and they're expecting big things out of him. He's an extremely good athlete and a big young man at 6'3 and 210 pounds. And then Caleb Sablehouse, a big 6'4 receiver. They got a lot of experience last year. They're hoping for big things from him as well. And they've got a couple of other guys that can come out there and catch some passes for him. So gone are the days where the Patriots line up in the wishbone and try to run it right at you, try to run it down your throats. But they'll try to find different ways to beat you through the air and on the ground, and it'll be interesting. I think this is a group that's I was down on the field at the scrimmage, and it's a very, for a team coming off a 2-8 season, program history, and for a program that's not used to struggling like that, you would have never known it standing on the field. It was a very positive energy down there. The guys were having fun. They were enjoying being out there and enjoying putting the work in. So I don't worry about the mental aspect with this team coming off a season like last year, and I think they're ready to get out and prove that that was an anomaly and not going to be the norm with this program from here on out.
Now, you know, the defensive side of the ball returns 9 starters, you know, coming off of a 2-8 record. They definitely learned throughout the season, and I'm sure that experience will end well for the Patriots this season.
Yeah, and I think you've got some guys there at the linebacker spot, and Zach Jones, who we talked about, and Jacob Wilson, and their experience there at the linebacker spot will be big. Zach Durham along the offensive and defensive line is a guy that's a veteran and brings you good size and good presence there. And they'll rely on those guys up front. And then you've got some guys in the secondary that are athletic and experienced, Kenton Cruz and the quarterback Logan Wilkerson, along with Sean Schaefer, who's been playing back there. Now, this will be his second or even third year playing in that secondary for the Patriots. And so I think that'll help them back there, as well as Caleb Molzer, who's played a lot in that secondary as well. So I think that that experience should help, and they're going to go up against a big Mount Vernon team tonight. This is a Mount Vernon team that, while they return a lot of guys, they don't return a huge amount of statistics in their offensive skill guys, but their line is big and experienced and veteran, and that'll be a big challenge for Heritage Hills to try to negate that line of scrimmage and give the rest of the guys a chance on both sides of the ball to make some plays. They will give up size along the offensive and defensive line to this Mount Vernon team. First time these two teams have met in the regular season since 1981, I believe. There have been some postseason matchups in there. Heritage Hills lead the overall series 7-5. Shout out to Dave Mosby, the outstanding Heritage Hills football historian and basketball historian, and for all the information on the history of this series between these two. But at any rate, should be a very exciting game tonight in Lincoln City, and Patriot fans hoping to get off to a better start this season. Last couple of years been very tough sledding opening the season against Evansville Modern Day, and neither one of those two games against Modern Day in the last two season openers went very well for the Patriots. They're hoping for better things tonight against the Mount Vernon Wildcats.
Now, turning the page here, let's touch on the South Spencer Rebels. You know, Coach Packer, coming off 7-3 season last year, returns 21 seniors and 15 juniors to a team that finished third in the conference last year.
Yeah, there's a lot coming back. Now, there are 3 big losses, if you ask me, on this football team from last year. One is their quarterback last year, Malin Webb, who's off at Kentucky Wesleyan now. And then there are two receivers and defensive backs, Chandler Roberts and Isaac Rowan. Between those three guys, it was very good production, athleticism, and maybe more importantly, leadership from those three that they'll have to replace. And they've got the guys to do it. Trevor Lehrer will step in his senior season as quarterback. He didn't get a lot of snaps in varsity action last year as he played different spots on the field, but was the backup quarterback all year. It'll be his job this season, and it'll be interesting to see how much early on that they'll open things up offensively with a new quarterback back there. But the luxury is that they've got Jake Burden still there at running back. He is a four-year starter at running back, 1,160 yards rushing with 16 touchdowns last season. Between Jake and his older brother, Denver, there's been a burden at running back for South Spencer for more than a half a decade now. His older brother, there's a reason Jake got thrown into the fire his freshman year. His older brother tore an ACL, I believe, and had to miss most of the season. They may not have been an ACL, but it was a leg injury of some kind that year. And Jake came in to carry the load his freshman year and was very impressive for a freshman. And now the job is his again solely in his senior year. And they'll rely on him a lot running the football for sure. But, yeah, they do have they've got a lot of veterans along that offensive line, R.J. Shaw, Jacob Huff, Nick Bingle, Keith Barkley, among the guys that are returning there, and their size and experience there. Wyatt Parker comes back at tight end. Only caught two balls last year, but was very big in the running game, blocking, and still was an occasional threat in the passing game. Isaiah Stokes is the big returning target at wide receiver, and Isaiah is another guy that was new to football last year, and his athletic ability really showed in kick returns at times, and when they find ways to get him the ball in open space on offense, he's just an absolute burner, and so he'll be, again, a guy that can stretch the field for him in the receiving game. Caught seven passes for 161 yards and a touchdown last year. Tyler Snyder, another guy that returns along with Trent Lehrer and Adam Roth and Cody Leishner in the receiving core. Coach Packers, he's a little bit of an old-school guy and a little bit of a new-school guy in that he still believes you've got to establish the run to set up the pass, but he has no problem when he's got the personnel to go four wide and go out of the shotgun and let his quarterback throw the football. So and that's what we saw last year, and I would expect we'll see it again. Tough start for the Rebels as they start with a conference game against North Posey, who should be improved after a tough season last year where they had to introduce a young class into varsity action kind of all at once. And those guys are a year older and more experienced. So that'll be a big challenge for South Spencer. The Rebels have that on their home field, and they beat North Posey by a point last year, I believe 14-13, if my memory serves. So that should be another heck of a football game down at Alfred Ayer Field. Haven't heard if they have anything planned for that, but the namesake of the field down there at Rio, L. Fred Ayer, the original first ever superintendent of the South Spencer County School Corporation, and a big supporter of Rebel and prior to that Rockport Athletics, as he passed away earlier this month. So I don't know if they'll have any kind of ceremony celebrating him prior to the game tonight or not, but know that he'll be on the minds of a lot of Rebel fans tonight, the first game back on the field that was named in his honor a number of years back. So it should be a big opening night down at South Spencer tonight.
Now, let's touch on the PAC just a little bit. Kind of give us a rundown. Who are the top teams that are expected to compete for the PAC crown this season?
Well, I think when you talk about the PAC, you start with Gibson Southern and Southridge, and I think those two are the cream of the crop, without a doubt. Gibson Southern has been outstanding the last couple of years, and they return. They lost quite a bit, but their numbers are so big, and they played so many guys. They still have, despite all their losses, they still have a ton of guys returning. And Nick Sellers, their quarterback, is, and I used to think of Sellers as a little guy because he played some as a freshman. I know he started last year and didn't seem that big, but they list him now 6'1", 205 pounds. So he's not a little guy anymore, and he's a dual threat. He ran for 9 touchdowns, threw for just under 3,000 yards and 32 touchdowns last year. They are a spread team, and they put pressure on the defense in a variety of ways, and they're coming off a 13-1 season, lost to Indianapolis Rebuff late in the postseason last year, and they're looking to try to break through in 3A and get all the way to Lucas Oil. And Southridge had an outstanding season last year under first-year head coach Scott Buning, 10-3 overall and 6-1 in the PAC last year. And, you know, I think that it keeps rolling along up in up on the ridge. I expect Southridge to be very, very good as well, and I think that the conference championship may come down to that final game of the regular season when the Raiders and Titans meet. You know, Luke Stetter back at quarterback, 1,141 yards and 13 touchdowns last year. Gage Fetter also able to step in there. And then, of course, you've got Connor Craig, who is an outstanding athlete and an outstanding running back, and also a threat to catch the ball out of the backfield, so or line up as a wide receiver and go catch the football. So when you've got those two guys to start your offense, you've got something going there, and the Raiders certainly do, and they've got a lot of guys back up front as well. So I really see the conference and the PAC as a two-team race right now. I would hope that Heritage Hills and South Spencer can be up there with them, but they've got to prove that yet. Although, you know, South Spencer, I haven't played those teams, especially against Southern, pretty tough last year. And then after that, I don't know. I expect North Posey to be a little better than they were last year. I expect Forest Park to be a little better. And Coach Foose does a great job over there with the Rangers. And I expect them, with Ben Lindholt, one of the best athletes around, underneath center for them, I expect them to be a little bit better. Tell City graduated a ton, and they've got another new head coach in Ronnie Robinson. It'll be interesting to see how they respond with a bunch of new guys and a new head coach there. And Dustin Powell continuing to try to build things at Pike Central, but just a 1-9 season last year there for Pike Central, and they continue to try to build that football program. It's been a long uphill battle over in Pike County trying to build that thing. So we wish them luck, and it'll just be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But, Joe, I think you've got to put Gibson Southern and Southridge right up there at the top of the PAC right now.
Touching on sectional just real fast, where do you see the South Spencer Rebels and the Heritage Hills Patriots fitting into their sectional? Who are some of the favorites in those sectionals?
Again, I think they've got to go through some conference mates at the top of that of each sectional. Heritage Hills staring right at Gibson Southern in their own sectional. They'll have to get through the Titans if they want to capture a sectional title. It's been a number of years for the Patriots since they've won a sectional, and they've got to get through the Titans to get that done. And same with South Spencer. They've got to go through Southridge in their sectional to get through in sectional 32. So you don't have to look any farther than your own conference. And, of course, there's other threats, especially in 3A for Heritage Hills with Evansville Memorial. And you never can discount right now Evansville Bossy, because they've shown in the last couple of postseasons that it doesn't matter what kind of record they come in with their athleticism and the fact that they play an extremely tough regular season schedule in the city. They are very dangerous in the postseason. So, and then you've got Princeton in there with that's White Shanks doing some things up there, getting some guys back out. I think their numbers are continue to be up, and they've shown the ability to be extremely explosive offensively over the last year or two. And so you kind of, and then you know, you got Vincennes as well, and you can never count a Vincennes team out. Mount Vernon's in there, so yeah, here the children get a look at a couple of them here during the regular season, but I think it's for Heritage Hills and South Spencer, when you look at their sectionals, it starts and ends with somebody in their own conference.
Now, Steve, what game are you doing tonight, and what can people listen to you at?
I will be at the Jungle in Lincoln City, Heritage Hills in Mount Vernon, kickoff at 7 o'clock Central. Michael Cruz will join me for a pregame report at around 6:45, and you can listen at 103.3 The Fix, WAXL, 103.3 FM, and available worldwide at 103.3thefix.com.
Okay. Well, Steve, thanks for taking the time to break down the PAC for us. You know, a great job as usual. And just I said, today is a DC broadcasting kind of day. We had WJTS, Craig Schneider on for you. We're going to have Gusell coming up here in just a few minutes. And we appreciate you, all of you guys, taking the time to let our listeners know a little bit about the teams that you cover.
Joe, my pleasure. Always good to talk to you, and I hope to do it again soon.
Okay. Well, when we come back, Kurt Gusell is going to be calling in, and we'll be breaking down the South Spencer Corydon matchup for this evening. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories, and they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe. Coach is busy on assignment this week, but wanted to mention that I've mentioned that Paige Schulteis, his daughter, he's moving into IU, who's going to be a doctor, is his retirement plan, but I'm sure he has one set up as well. Janet Schulteis is an Edward Jones agent in Evansville, and you can give her a call for any of your retirement needs at 812-479-8215. We are now joined by Kurt Gusell. Kurt, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've been listening to the show. I'm all fired up. Talk to Steve Kolb, talk to Craig Schneider. And, you know, the one thing Craig and I talked about is all the firepower on that Jasper team. But I'll tell you what, looking at the Southridge statistics, no one should feel sorry for them as well.
Yeah, they are going to be very good offensively. That's one thing that they've got a lot going for them. They do have some question marks along their offensive line, in which they graduated a lot of players last year. But when you're looking at Luke Stetter at quarterback and Connor Craig at one of those wing-back positions, Jonathan Shum, a very athletic tight end type of receiver, and they got some weapons offensively, just like a couple of those other teams that you talked about.
Yeah, you look down, Connor Craig, 1,781 yards rushing, 442 yards receiving. I know he's a heck of a return man as well. I don't know if he returns punts or not. You know, Luke Stetter. I mean, it's just the list goes on. And Coach Buning's got a lot of weapons at his disposal.
No doubt about it. And when you look at Connor Craig, he's not in one of these systems, as you know, that will give the ball somebody 30 or 40 times. It's usually pretty equal opportunity when you run that wing T. Both the wings get equal touches, and I'm sure Connor will get more than equal touches, but also they mix in the fullback. Back in the past, the fullback was basically a glorified guard in that wing tee, but they've kind of expanded that where the fullback gets some carries out of that too. So that's what makes Southridge's leading rusher, Connor Craig, and some of those guys in the past, their stats so great, because they don't run the ball 30 or 40 times. So he's certainly one of the best backs around.
Yeah, when you look at his, I just looked at the number of attempts, 176 attempts, so averaging about 10 yards a carry. And, for a running back to average have that kind of an average is just phenomenal. But, whenever he's not getting the ball, you've got very capable quarterback in Luke Stetter, threw for 1,141 yards last year and 13 touchdowns. And you got to know that if you're Mitch Stetter's brother, that there's got to be some winner. I mean, I spent time coaching at Southridge and got the pleasure of coaching Mitch. And you know, if Luke's anything like he is, Southridge has got a good one right there.
Yeah, he's very good. He's expanded his role as a team leader the last couple of years. He can get you in and out of good and bad plays. Very, very smart quarterback. But he's also thrown the football very well, too. He's very accurate. You know, some guys, when the heat's on or the bullets are flying, like they like to say, it's tough to be accurate. It's great on 7-on-7 or throwing against air, but Luke, against defenses in a game situation, is very accurate, and that helps a lot, because when you don't throw the ball very often, 10, 15 times a game, the times you do throw, you want to be right on the money and not waste any of those opportunities to catch the defense sleeping. So it's very good to be accurate, and Luke has really done a nice job in that capacity the last couple of years.
You know, defensively, I coach with Coach Winkler. I have all the respect for him. I think that that Coach Winkler is a great defensive coordinator, one of the best in the area, if not the state. But, you know, when you look at that defense, there's a lot of names, you know, familiar names to pop up. But the one that really pops up to me is Brett Nordoff. I mean, 91 tackles last year, 6 tackle for losses. I mean, you know, really a stalwart in the Southridge defense.
Yeah, he's right in the middle of everything they do defensively. He can you know, come at you. He can drop back into coverage. He's a good read linebacker. He'll be joined by Bryce Harder on the other linebacking spot there in the middle for Southridge. And Bryce takes over for Aiden Mitchell, who was a first-team All-Stater and very good player now at the University of Indianapolis. So, you know, they're good at the linebacking spot. Davin Songer up front, they've got a few guys that they're going to, you know, roll in and out of that defensive line. But, yeah, the defense starts with Nordoff in the middle of that thing.
Now, Kurt, I'll be honest. I don't know much about Cordon Central. Tell us a little bit about this matchup that you're going to be broadcasting tonight.
Well, Cordon is a significant upgrade over Clarksville that the Raiders have played for the last 4 years. They didn't offer very much, especially against a good program like Southridge to start the season. They weren't a team that was very good. They weren't in shape. They didn't play hard. So this is a little different. Cordon, in the last several years, especially since Darren Ward had taken over down there, very good. They were a semi-state participant a couple of years ago. Darren's team had a big ball game against Memorial in the regional that they were able to win. But Darren, the former Jasperson, has moved on to program. But they're coached by another familiar name locally, and that's Mike Spencer, who coached all those years at Tell City and then had the great run at Perry Central. And he'd been helping Darren the last couple of years as an assistant. So when Darren abruptly left for Charlestown, Mike took over as an interim coach this year. And he's been there because his grandsons play at Cordon. So he's very familiar since he's been there that he takes over. They're always a team that runs the ball very well under Spencer. They have nice line play, and they've had 5 straight winning seasons. So they've been a pretty good program, and a lot of that goes to Darren Ward and the things that he has done. So they've got some athletes. They're a 3A school. They've got a good quarterback in Lannis Buck. And, again, they'll try to run the ball downhill against Southridge, and the Raiders will get a good test right off the bat. Trying to defend a good running game, which I'm sure they'll see in the next couple of weeks, too, with Jasper and a few others they got on their schedule. But, you know, Coach Buting, they're looking forward to the game with Cordon because they know there's going to be a program on the other side that's going to offer up some resistance tonight.
Yeah, you talk about that Jasper-Southridge game. You know, both teams, that's a big rivalry game for both teams. And Jasper's going to have to worry about Evansville Memorial tonight, and Southridge is going to have to worry about Cordon Central and not be looking ahead. But, you know, just taking a peek, since we're not playing and we can do that, you know, that's just going to be one heck of a matchup.
Yeah, and I think both coaches will tell you next week that it'll be one of those games that's going to be won up front, because when you look at the teams skill position-wise, both with senior good quarterbacks, both with, you know, some –
good skill positions as far as catching the football. Connor Craig out of the backfield, Austin Aulis doing his thing at tight end. You know, the Cats, of course, no matter who they put back there, will be able to run the football, and Southridge is the same way. But it'll be interesting to see how some of those inexperienced guys on both lines of scrimmages for both teams playing a game like that, because it's going to be a physical game. Both teams are very strong. Both teams will be in very good shape. So, you know, Jasper has obviously had the upper hand in the series, but, you know, it's not one of these upper hands that there's a blowout in the second or third quarter already. It's, you know, the games are decided usually in the fourth quarter most of the time, and I expect nothing out of the ordinary with that next week, because I think it'll be a pretty good game.
Okay, now Forest Park Rangers, let's talk about them just, if you don't mind, for just a little bit. We don't want to leave them out. You know, Ross Boosted, coach, coming off a 2-8 season, but had, you know, a big victory over the Heritage Hills Patriots last year. And they have, you know, one of the best athletes in the area in Ben Wenholt that's going to be quarterbacking for them this year.
Yeah, and I always say that's where you start in football. If you're quarterback and play, you've got a shot of winning games. And Ben battled some injury problems last year, but he's going to run that offense. And the thing about Ross's team is they played a lot of young guys last year, a lot of sophomores, and those guys come back as juniors. And he thinks they're going to be very much improved, but they're battling some injury problems that they suffered in the scrimmage. So hopefully they will be at full strength in the near future. But with Ross and the guys, I mean, it doesn't get any tougher for them taking on a big 3A school, which is a conference team in Gibson Southern. So, you know, I don't know what you'll be able to take out of Forest Park's season, what kind of season they'll have, you know, based on tonight's game. But I think Ross thinks that they'll be a little better this year. And, you know, once they get in the groove of playing, should be all right. But, again, in the PAC, they just keep lining up every Friday, and it's like survival of the fittest. But I think things are looking up for Coach Foose and the guys, as long as they can get healthy and stay healthy.
Okay, you know, Southridge and Gibson Southern, those are the two people everyone's are pointing at, you know, for the PAC crown. Who is the surprise team? Give me your surprise team. Not surprise, but who's going to be much improved over last year? Who's going to make some noise
in that league?
Yes, in the PAC.
Yeah, I think a lot of people like North Posey because they've had some good 7th, 8th freshman teams, and Coach Rinkowitz is starting to get in the groove a little bit after taking over for Coach Joe a couple years ago. They could be improved. Tell City, they've got a good back that they're going to rely on, but again, they've got the revolving door as far as their coaching situation is concerned, as Coach George left to go back to Cincinnati. It'll be interesting. I think that league, though, you know, is really top heavy with Southridge and Gibson, and any leap forward by any of those teams will be considered good, not only for the league, but for those specific schools. But, you know, Posey, I think, will be the team that makes the biggest jump, along with Forest Park. If they can get healthy, they can, you know, double their win total and, you know, just win those games that they're supposed to win.
Now, I would ask you who Southridge's main competition is in the sectional. I would think that the main competition, of course, you know, Southridge came in at ranked number 7, but Evansville Modern Day came in ranked number 4. Are there any other teams in the sectional that can compete with either of those two?
Well, I think on a specific night, and it just depends on how they progress. Like I'm talking about a North Posey team that can get better or whatever, but Tell City took them right down the wire last year and nearly ended their season before they could win that sectional last year. But, it's going to be Modern Day and Southridge. And Modern Day, they lost a lot of guys. They had one of the biggest lines that they've ever had in school history. I mean, they were huge last year. Southridge able to come from behind and take care of them. Not actually come from behind, actually got off to a good lead last year and had to stave off Modern Day. But Modern Day lost a ton. But with Modern Day and some of those other teams, you never know what they're going to have from year to year. And they have to rebuild a little bit along the line, but they do return a really good player in Widener, their all-purpose player. He'll line up in the backfield, and he'll line up at receiver, plays defense too, Julian Widener. So I think Modern Day and Southridge, obviously, the class of that sectional. And last year they met in the finals, and the Raiders able to win that game. So I think Modern Day and Southridge are right there.
Kurt, give us some information on your game tonight. When's pregame start?
All right, 7:05 with the countdown to kickoff with Coach Buning. Josh Houchin, who does a great job on the caller, will be alongside. The game starts at 7:30 out at Raider Field on WBDC 100.9 FM and, of course, across the World Wide Web at WBDC.us. And people have really liked the streaming aspect of the ball games, like they enjoy your show on streaming. Because if you're not around the area, you can still get your fix of Raider football or Patriot football or Wildcat football, no matter where you are.
And people will be able to watch this game on tape delay on TV as well this week, right?
Right. 2 o'clock tomorrow on WJTS 18 and also Sunday at 9 as the Raiders are the game of the week. The TV station does all the Jasper games there on Saturday mornings at 10, then on Sunday evenings at 7. But between Heritage Hill, Southridge, and Forest Park, through the 9 weeks, we're trying to get some of the better games on in a game of the week situation. I think that's going to work out for all three of the fan bases, Southridge, Forest Park, and Heritage Hill's a little better. So fans are looking forward to that, to be able to watch them the next day, because if you're at the game or you know, can't get to the game or listen to the game, you have a chance to view those games. And it's been very, you know, since we started back in 93, it's been great, the tape delay aspect and the way that's really been a part of athletics around here. And it's really a neat thing.
Well, Kurt, thanks for joining us. Hopefully you'll join us next week, because we're going to have to, we're going to have to preview that game of the week next week, which will be Jasper and Southridge. It's going to be one of the best games in the Southern Indiana next week. So, Kurt, have a great broadcast tonight.
Joe, thank you very much, and hopefully Coach Schulteis on his assignments today will find what he's looking for.
We're hoping. We don't know. I doubt it, but we're hoping. So, hey, when we come back,
Joe,
we're going to. Thanks. When we come back, we're gonna have Don Schulteis in for our ever popular What's Hot, What's Not segment. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is John Goldsberry, former Boilermaker and Buffalo Bill, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
When you're hot, you're hot.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe, without the coach, but I've got the closest thing to the coach, just one grade behind him, lived in the same house. I don't know if you lived in the same bedroom. Don Schulteis with the What's Hot and What's Not segment. Don, what's hot?
Joe, you're doing a hot job today, taking over the whole show for your cohort, who, you're right, hardly ever lets you talk when he's on. But, man, you're doing a great job, and the show is flowing very smoothly, and you've got some great guests on, particularly since it's opening weekend for high school football. So I think to head it all off, you must be hot doing this broadcast.
I guess so. My dog hasn't bothered me to have to go out to the bathroom or anything, so it's been a great show so far.
All right, well, I am going to meet Coach K in Bloomington on assignment a little bit later today. I'm also moving my son in to his fraternity house. He starts classes on Monday, and my hope is that we can meet at an establishment in Bloomington that serves some ice-cold adult beverages and we can talk about, summarize the Coach K and Joe show. So just wanted to share that with all your listeners. But let's get right into it. Joe, I tell you what, this week has been unbelievable as far as things to talk about on what's hot and what's not. I mean, the great thing about sports and athletes, there's just never a dull moment. So to lead off this week on the not-so-hot side, I got to throw Notre Dame football program out there. I mean, I know that most of your listeners have probably been following this, but I got to recap it. Notre Dame football, four key players, three starters, and one second stringer missing practice, suspended from practice, as the school looks into, didn't use the word investigates, but looks into academic dishonesty, which means that these players are, they're looking into whether they had someone else complete their homework, papers, and other projects to do their coursework and gain their credits. To summarize the people here, Kayvare Russell, the team's best cornerback, Devarius Daniels, the leading receiver, Isha Williams, starting defensive end, and Kendall Moore, which is a second-string linebacker, has been held out, and they are looking in. Now, I haven't heard whether they've proven anything or what the status is, but I'd say this week, Joe, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish football program is not hot.
Not hot, and Don, I got one question for you. On something like this, where does the blame go? It has to start at the top, right?
Well, there's a lot of heat on Coach Brian Kelly about his recruiting and the type of individual players, student-athletes he's recruiting, because don't forget, last year, starting quarterback Everett Golson was suspended for using, and I quote, poor academic judgment. He was suspended for the whole year, Joe, and kicked out of school. But he paid his dues. He got reinstated, and he will be starting behind the center this year. But there are a lot of people and Notre Dame backers that I know are starting to really get a little bit disgusted with this kind of publicity for the football program. So we'll see. You know, maybe he can nip it in the bud and get it cleaned up. He has done a heck of a job reviving the program. But you got to do it the right way, Joe. You know that.
Yep, and seeing how I'm Coach K today on this segment, Notre Dame, not hot. I didn't sound like him, did I?
Now, I know it's football week and start of football in college. Some college games are kicking off, but I got to go on the hot side with the Indiana Fever. Let's not forget that the Indiana Fever are playing still. They've just ended the regular season, started their playoffs last night, and I have to give them credit, Joe. This is the seventh consecutive year that the Fever have made the playoffs, having won it all back in 2012. That is a NBA franchise record for the most successive franchises to make the playoffs and seven in a row. Remember that Big Tamika Catchings, their best player, was out for 17 games in the first half of the season. They won last night, their first playoff game, beating the Washington Mystics. Catchings had 31. So, Tamika, the Indiana Fever, you are hot.
The Fever is hot. I got a question about the Fever. I keep interrupting you with questions. Who's the head coach of the Fever? I apologize. I do not follow it that close.
Coach Dunn is her last year. Okay. She's a Hall of Famer.
And who's taking over next year? Do they already have someone coming in? Do they already have a coach
coming? Yeah,
one of
their assistants has been named, but I don't have that on the top of my head. Sorry about that, but I'll dig that up for next week, Joe.
Okay.
All right, on the not-so-hot side, following the Notre Dame football mishaps, what about Kansas City Chief receiver Dwayne Bowe was suspended last Friday? It was announced, incidentally, Joe, right after the Coach K and Joe show, or I would have had it on last week. But he got suspended for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. He got caught with a little marijuana. You know, it's legal in Colorado and I think Washington State and to some degree in California and probably in the next 5 to 10 years. It'll probably be legal across the country. But it's not now, and he got suspended for his substance abuse, violating the substance abuse policy for the NFL. Joe, get this. It will cost him $514,705, which is 1/17 of his $8.75 million base salary. I'd say, Joe, Dwayne Bowe, Kansas City Chiefs starting receiver, that smoke in that pot is not hot.
Not hot, and I'll tell you what, I wish I had that kind of money for someone to find me that much. And if I did, I'd make sure I wouldn't find, give it away.
God, isn't it just crazy? I mean, for your listeners, the pro players get paid by the game. So they get their checks written as they play games, not on a weekly basis. And when you get suspended for a game, that's why they take 1/17 of that salary. But that's a big ticket item for Mr. Bowe, no doubt about it. Now, I have to – this is not sports-related – but I have to bring this up, Joe, on the hot side. Because, you know, Nicki Minaj just released a new music video, Anaconda, and it's pretty risque. But we could talk about it on the Coach K and Joe show because we're on the Internet, right? It's a little
That's
risque.
Right.
It's a music video that was dropped out on the Internet on Wednesday. And at midnight, Joe, it had 5.5 million YouTube hits by noon the next day. So it was released midnight on Wednesday, and by noon the next day, 5.5 million and counting YouTube hits. Nicki Minaj and your new music video, Anaconda, is hot, hot, hot.
I might have to check that out.
It is hot. It is sizzling hot. So for your listeners, they're probably pulling it up on YouTube right now. Anyway, flipping over to the not hot side, back to college football, quarterback for the Ohio, or I should say former quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes, Braxton Miller re-injured his shoulder in practice earlier this week and has been ruled out for the season. Listeners should know that Miller had surgery right after the last season, college football season, and missed all of spring practice and felt like he was coming back and was 100%, mm-hmm. but he went down. And as the head coach said, when he went down, the head coach went berserk, screaming, "What the hell is happening?" So Ohio State's prospects, who they were picked to be maybe one of the final four teams to play for a national championship, after the news was announced, they became a 50-1 odds of winning it all. So I'd say Ohio State Buckeyes football, and particularly Braxton Miller, you're not hot this week.
Not hot. Braxton.
All right, staying with our theme of college football, and I got several here, Joe, so I'll probably have to cut it off because this has been a great week for the hot and not so hot. But the Oregon, Alabama, Nebraska, and LSU are the only teams in the CFB that have won at least 9 games in each of the past 5 seasons. Isn't that unbelievable? Oregon, Alabama, Nebraska, and LSU are the only teams in the CFB that have won at least 9 games in each of the past 5 seasons. Incidentally, the University of Alabama has been ranked either 1 or 2 in preseason in 5 straight preseason polls. And only one other team back between 1954 and 1959 has had a longer streak, and that's Oklahoma, had 6 straight in those rankings. So Alabama, Nebraska, LSU, and Oregon, boy, the last 5 years, your college football programs have been hot.
Been hot and very hot. Alabama, I mean, just keeps, I guess when they made that that slogan, Roll Tide, they knew what they were talking about because they just keep rolling along. And my goal is someday, I'm going to go to that Alabama-Auburn game. Really would love to just go see that. On the bucket list, Colin.
Oh, yeah. You got to do it. Get a RV, get a ton of friends, pack those coolers, and stay the weekend, no doubt about it. All right, Joe, on the not-so-hot side, Johnny Football. He just seems to be in the headlines just about every week. But this week, and our Monday Night Football, national TV, he was caught giving the finger. And for those of the Coach K listening audience that doesn't know what that means, he stuck the middle finger out to the bench of the Washington Redskins as he returned to the huddle late in the third quarter on Monday night's 24-23 loss. One of the few times Johnny Football found his target that night, Joe, because he had a really tough game, and the Washington Redskin bench was riding him. So he took matters in his own hand with the finger.
Yeah, one finger.
Manziel called it, though, and I quote, a lapse of judgment. Joe, this may have caused him to not be named as the starter. I think Hoyer has been named the starter now for the Cleveland Browns. Probably the right call. Manziel probably needs a little bit more work and maturity. So, Johnny Football, you're not hot this week.
I could see why they didn't name him. I mean, you know, one thing you want from a quarterback, I've coached football before a little bit, and you got to have composure out of that position. If you don't, it's just never going to work. And he's going to have to learn that, you know, I guarantee you his counterpart in Cleveland, LeBron James, probably takes heat a lot. LeBron has learned just to let it roll off his back, and he just doesn't do anything about it. You know, you don't ever see LeBron James doing anything like this.
No, if he can have Lance Stephenson blow in his ear during a heated playoff game, LeBron's pretty under control, no doubt about it. All right, Joe, on the hot side, I'm going to speed up here because I got a couple more on each side, and I want to get them in because these are good. On the hot side, Iowa high school baseball coach Gene Schultz resigned after 45 years of coaching baseball at Key High School in Lansing, Iowa. Joe, get this. The Iowa High School Athletic Association confirms that Coach Schultz retired with 1,754 wins. I took my calculator out because I couldn't do it in my head, but I got an average of like 39 wins per year as a high school baseball coach. He also recorded 398 wins in boys basketball. So I'd say Coach Gene Schultz of Key High School in Lansing, Iowa, you had an awesomely hot coaching career. I think that's more wins than Coach K had as a high school basketball coach, isn't it? His 398, Coach Schultz?
Yeah. We'd have to research that because I'm sure he's doctored it and added a few here and there. But, that's great to have that many. And to be that successful is just great. Just kidding about Coach K.
Dominating and to be able to keep the parents and the mamas and the papas and all the fans at bay and be able to coach for 45 years. But I guess if you're averaging 39 wins a year, Joe, what can they say about you?
I don't know if Indiana High School baseball plays 39 games a year.
Yeah.
that's amazing.
All right, on the not-so-hot side, Joe, Cincinnati Reds. We talked about them last week on the show a little bit, have lost 23 of the last 33 games in the last five in a row. They are tanking with a capital T. I'm sure the St. Louis Cardinal fans listening love that. Brandon Phillips summarizes the whole season by saying, and I quote, "It sucks, man. Cincinnati Reds, you are not hot."
Definitely not hot. Definitely not
hot. This is a great one, and I think Coach K would have loved this if he was part of the show this week, but I got to bring it up. NBA referee Dick Bavetta, after 39 years refereeing in the NBA, has announced his retirement. Bavetta had worked 2,635 consecutive regular season games in the NBA. Joe, he never missed an assignment in 39 years. He worked 270 playoff games, including 27 in the NBA Finals. It's a record. And guess what? That is more games worked than the Iron Man Cal Ripken Jr. played, straight as he played his baseball career, which he had 2,632 straight baseball games played. But referee Dick Bavetta at 2,635. Dick Bavetta, he is hot.
Very hot. I mean, chance of getting sick or anything there, that's just phenomenal.
Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. I got one on each side, and then I'll hand it back over to you, Joe. Sorry I'm a little longer this week, but there's so much good
stuff. No, that's fine.
Okay, on the not-so-hot side, I watched, and many may have watched the other night, Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia team of the Little League World Series that has Monet Davis, the girl pitcher, who's phenomenal, play the Las Vegas team in Nevada. Attendance at that Pennsylvania-Nevada Little League World Series game on Wednesday night was attended by 34,128 fans. Joe, that was 9,000 more fans than attended the Phillies-Mariners game that same night. I'd say Major League Baseball, Phillies-Mariners, you're not hot, but Little League World Series, hot, hot, hot.
Definitely hot. And, I'd hate to know what some of the attendance is. Liz and Reese have went down to visit Ryan in Miami, and they went to some of the Marlin game, Florida Marlin games. It's amazing how many people go to those. Seeing how Miami is as big as it is,
yeah.
Not very many people care.
Yeah, it's a struggle with that franchise to bring fans into the ballpark. All right, I'm going to round out this segment, Joe, and I appreciate the time today. According to Forbes magazine, the Indianapolis Colts franchise is valued at $1.4 billion. They had revenue last year of $285 million and operating income of $61 million. Your business geek listeners can crunch those numbers and know that this is big, big profitable business, this NFL and owning an NFL franchise. Incidentally, Jim Irsay, who is owns the Colts today, his father, Robert, paid only $19 million back in 1972 for the franchise, and now it's valued at $1.4 billion. The highest-valued franchise in professional sports is the Dallas Cowboys at $3.2 billion. You've got the New England Patriots at $2.6 billion, number two, and number three, the Washington, and dare I say and use their nickname Redskins, because that's controversial, they're valued at $2.4 billion. I'd say these NFL franchises, Joe, and the NFL in general are hot.
Are hot.
That wraps me up for the week.
I'll tell you what, Don, you know, the Indians can all get mad, you know, the Redskins and, you know, all these people who've had to change their name. Well, you know, I'm Irish, and I want nothing to do with Notre Dame, saying I'm a Boilermaker fan. So I'm gonna have to file a lawsuit to get that name changed, because I'm tired of the Irish being used as a, you know, they even call us the Fighting Irish. You know, like they're thinking that we Irishmen
they're
fight all the time or something.
They're stereotyping you, Joe.
They're stereotyping me, and I'm not standing for it any longer. Hey, Don, before I let you go, though, you know, it has been Football Friday. We've touched on a lot of high school football. Cathedral's number one in the state. Can you tell us anything about them? I know you could rattle on forever about the Cathedral basketball team, but do you know anything about the Cathedral football team other than that they're really, really good?
They are they're very good, and I think at 5A it's interesting, Joe. They're a 4A school, but they've had so much success the last several years, and with the success rule that got implemented, they moved up last year to 5A and won the state. And it's funny because a lot of the bigger schools moved up to this new class 6A a few years ago, and so they're kind of the dominant team, and I think they're picked to win it all again this year, you know, barring some big injuries. They got a new quarterback. He's a junior, you know, first time in several years that they started a junior quarterback, but I hear he's very good. He's worked out at some national camps over the last couple of summers and has really developed his skills and are being evaluated by some bigger time programs. Jared Thomas, who's on the offensive line, just committed to Northwestern to play football for them. He's a smart young man as well, and I see him doing some big things there. They've got a really strong kicker and punter, and I think his last name is Shopper. And he's being looked at from some really big schools as well. And they're just a machine, Joe. And I think it's a lot like Craig Schneider and you were talking about earlier about Jasper. It's just a machine. And, you know, when you get into the 5A, there seems to be not a lot of dominant teams. I'm not saying there's not some good teams there, but it's not as competitive as you might see in 6A. And incidentally, if they get to the semi-state this year, Joe, I think they move up to 6A next year. So we'll see what happens and how the tournament. And your guest, Bill Somm, when he comes on, he'll be able to fill in a lot more of the details on Cathedral.
Well, Don, thanks for joining us. Having a lot on, that was perfect today because, as I said, Coach K is on assignment, and so he helped me fulfilling time. That's great.
All right. Anytime, Joe. You have a great weekend, and enjoy all the high school football.
Okay. Have an adult beverage in Bloomington for me. Oh, one last thing I wanted to tell you is that IU is in Reed's final two schools, so I might be there next year moving someone in. So then we're going to have to have
knew your son, Reed, was a really smart kid. So I'm sure he'll make the right decision, and you'll be joining us next year in Bloomington on move-in day.
Well, we'll see. So, hey, have a good time in
What's
Bloomington.
What's his other school, Joe?
He's being recruited by Indiana State for track. If he decides to run track, he'll go to Indiana State. If not, he'll probably go to IU.
Awesome. All right. Well, good luck to Reed, and good luck to him tonight in the opener against the Memorial Tigers. I know it's always a nice rivalry.
Yep. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Bye.
We'll be back to wrap up the show right after this. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams. Natural-looking fillings. Crowns. Bridges and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show. Before we close out this edition of the Coach K and Joe Show, I just wanted to go over the schedules tonight in the SIAC, the Big Eight, and the Pocket Athletic Conference. We've got Bossy at home against Jeffersonville. Castle, who's number 11 in 5A, will be at home against Terre Haute North. Evansville Central is going to be heading over towards Louisville to take on North Odom. Harrison Warriors are traveling to West Vigo. The Evansville Modern Day Wildcats, who are ranked number three in Class 2A, are traveling to Indianapolis to take on Indianapolis Northwest. Memorial will be taking on Jasper at Harrison. Evansville North is going to be traveling to Terre Haute South to take on the Braves. And Wright, number 10 in 4A, is going to be taking on the Henderson County, I don't know what their name is, sorry, Henderson County at Henderson County. In the Big Eight, Boonville opens right up with a Big Eight conference game. They will be traveling to Hatchet Hollow to take on the Washington Hatchets. As I said earlier, Jasper will be playing Memorial at Evansville Harrison Field. Mount Carmel is open this week. Mount Vernon is going to be traveling to the jungle to take on Heritage Hills. We've got a battle of Gibson County here in opening week. We got Princeton at Wood Memorial. Vincennes is at home against the Sullivan Arrows. And as I said, Washington will be taking on Boonville. In the Pocket Athletic Conference, Forest Park's at home. They have a big task here to open up the season. They'll be at home against Gibson Southern. Heritage Hills will be home against Mount Vernon. North Posey will be opening up PAC play right away here in week one. They'll be traveling to South Spencer. Pike Central is at home against North Knox. Southridge at home against Corydon Central. And Tell City and Perry Central will be playing Perry Central for the Battle of Perry County. Now, a couple of teams that are independent that we didn't mention, just one actually, Tecumseh is going to be traveling to North Davies. So I'll tell you what, there's so many great games out there. I mean, you've got football, you've got cross country, you've got tennis, you've got soccer, you've got girls golf, there's a multitude of varsity high school sports that started this week. And, go take your kids to it for the value of what you pay to get your family into a high school sporting event. There's just no better entertainment for the dollar. And, you know, if you're from Jasper, this week I'm going to give myself a plug here. I also own Jasper Today. It's an online magazine at www.jaspertodayonline.com. If you go there and click on the this month's edition of Jasper Today, we have a fall sports preview featuring all the Jasper Wildcat fall sports teams. I'm very proud of the issue, and I'd appreciate if you went and took a look. But I'll tell you what, for Coach K, who is on assignment, I'm Joe telling you that we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.